Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. Jesus is speaking to the Jews about their ancestors. And the Jews are often seen as our older brothers in the faith. And so if the Jews have ancestors, then spiritually we have ancestors too. And that means that in some way we share a common father. And who's that common father? Well, on one level it's Adam, the first man. But as Christians, as Catholics in one church, our common father is our Father in heaven. And he made us to be his children for himself. And so we are a family created by God. Now, God is a good father, but sometimes a father doesn't always give his children what they want. Gives us what we need. And for whatever reasons, we can think about why we've gone through these months without the Eucharist, why we're going through this pandemic, all these unanswered questions, and all of them will not be answered probably until the next life. But for whatever it might make us feel like, let's listen to what Moses has to say in the first reading about what God allows to happen to his people in the desert. Moses said to his people, "Remember how for 40 years now, the Lord your God has directed all your journeying in the desert." It's almost been 4 months for us. For the Jewish people, it was 40 years and counting. "Remember how for 40 years now, the Lord your God has directed all your journeying in the desert to test you by affliction. So as to test you by affliction and find out whether or not it was your intention to keep his commandments. So he therefore let you be afflicted with hunger and then fed you with manna." In a spiritual way, that can apply to us, that we were led into the desert and we've been afflicted with hunger. And it may have felt and may still feel like it's this test by affliction for God to find out whether or not it's our intention to keep his commandments. But then he also explains that there's more to it than just this testing. He then lets you be fed with manna, a food unknown to you and your fathers. Remember, the manna was this miraculous bread from heaven. It looked kind of white and sort of like frost on the ground. Maybe not, they would collect it and then make little pieces of hosts almost, like Holy Communion. A food unknown to you and your fathers, just like Holy Communion was unknown to us as becoming the bread of life. In order to show you that not by bread alone does one live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And so this time of being quarantined, this time of feeling maybe suppressed or repressed, this time of being restricted, not only in society, but even in the church, has been very difficult for every one of us, even for priests who have been able to celebrate Mass, because there's this incompleteness when we don't have the body of Christ together. But there's a purpose to it, as Moses says, to show you that not by bread alone does one live. We cannot live. Our souls cannot continue surviving on the food of the world. And perhaps we've come to understand that in a very clear way. But that we only can live, our souls only can live by every word that comes forth from the mouth of our Lord. And so Moses says, "So do not forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt." when we begin gradually coming to Mass, are we going to return to the same life we had before? Or maybe sometimes, I included, forget the Lord our God? Or are we going to try to remember him and make him the center? Do not forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, who guided you through the vast and terrible desert with its seraph serpents and scorpions. Serpents and scorpions. Have you experienced anything like that in these past few months? Maybe relationships kind of becoming edgy and biting a little bit, you know, these serpents kind of biting. Or maybe we might even feel like, well, I've had my partner being a scorpion with my tail coming up over my head and poisoning people with things I said and later regretted, or things that I'd done, or whatever it might be. This desert has its serpents and scorpions, parched and waterless ground. And yet God brings forth water for you. God brings forth water for you from the rock and feeds you in the desert with manna, a food unknown to your fathers. My brothers and sisters, I think this is a beautiful opportunity to rediscover this bread of angels, to rediscover this bread from heaven as though it was completely unknown to us before, so that we prize this great gift of the Father. And that's what St. Paul speaks about in the beautifully proclaimed second reading. Brothers and sisters, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? When we see the chalice that we've been used to for so many years, so many masses, why not remember and internalize that this is the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? That plain-looking host, inert, speechless, silent, boring, the Eucharist, can we rediscover that it's Jesus? Because the loaf of bread is one. And we, though many, many different people, many different questions, many different anxieties, many different sins, many different virtues, we, though many, are one body. Why? St. Paul says, because we all partake, we all eat of the one loaf. When we eat from the one loaf, Jesus, he makes us into one body. Holy Communion makes our unity as Christians more perfect, more strong, more protected from division, fragmentation, temptation, despair. And that's why it's been so difficult, I can imagine, for so many people not to receive this food of life to make us one body. And so, although maybe we have some regrets and we haven't quite felt our, you know, like we've been ourselves, haven't been quite as hardworking, maybe haven't been quite as patient and kind and so forth, the Father understands. The Father is compassionate. The Father is good, and he loves us so much that he gave his only Son. And his Son says to us in the Gospel, I am. That's the name of God. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Listen to Jesus. The bread that I will give is my flesh. For what? For the life of the world. Our world will not have God's life unless you eat the body of Christ, because he makes you a part of his body, and then he's in the world in you. I think that's another reason why our world has been kind of falling apart, it seems, because so many Catholics, which are a large percentage of our population around the world, not in all countries, but so much of the world is Catholic, that when Catholics cannot receive Jesus, then how do we bring life to the world? Eternal life. And so, my friends, let's ask the Virgin Mary to help us to be like her, who was so receptive, so ready, so willing to receive God into her body. She said, "Behold, I am the handmaid. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." Let's join her today, saying, "Lord, I am your servant. Change me. Let it be done to me, whatever you desire, according to your word, according to your Son. You know me. You know me. You know everything I've done. You know how difficult it's been these past few months. You know all my regrets. You know all my hopes. You know my faith. You know my trust in you. Change me. Let me become your body." St. Augustine said, before we receive the Eucharist, pray these prayers. "Lord, help me to become what I receive, the body of Christ. Lord, help me to receive what I am, the body of Christ." Amen.